lesson today is found in the book of Genesis, the 24th chapter, concerning how Abraham sent his servant out for a wife for Isaac. Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed him in all things. Abraham at this time was around 140 years of age. He had been richly blessed by God. Spiritually, he could call God his God. What a mercy, my hearers. God had richly blessed him also providentially. He had flocks, he had herds, he had silver and gold, and he had asses and camels. Abraham was then a wealthy man. And he was thinking of all his riches to whom he would have to leave them. Namely, he would likewise leave it to his son Isaac, who had been given unto him likewise as a blessing from God in his old age. Abraham was also meditating upon the time that he would die. In the preceding chapter, we have that Sarah, his wife, passed away at the age of 127 years. This would make Isaac around 40 years of age. He should have already been married at this time, but it seems there was no haste in getting a wife for Isaac. Isaac, he mourned the loss of his mother. This family was richly blessed. Sarah, she had the grace of God in her soul. Abraham, who was likewise blessed with the same grace, and we may be sure that Isaac had the same grace in his heart. And his mother had treated him so kindly and so graciously, instructing him in the ways of the Lord. He loved his mother, I am sure, and he missed her very much. This proves to us that how dear and how lovable our parents may be and our relatives, there is a time coming that they must die and we also. If any of you have any parents still living, esteem them. All do good to them. Treat them well. It's a blessing of God if they're both alive yet. And if they are gracious persons, all their counsel and to their advice. All do not talk very cruelly and harshly to them, for these sometimes cut through their very hearts. They love you as children, and they seek the best for your souls. All treat them well, even though they may be old, and give unto them every comfort that you possibly could in their old age. And when they do come to die, then you will have a clear conscience concerning the way that you treated your parents. So many children, they are so cruel and so mean and so harsh to their parents. They haven't a kind or a civil word at times. This is the way children are growing up in the world at the present time and have been for years already. Oh, they speak so mean to their parents. Children listening to me, if you have parents, oh, do everything that you possibly can for them. God has said, honor thy father and thy mother, and it shall be well with thee in the land of the living. And God promises in this that he will bless you if you do so. And now Isaac, he mourned the loss of his mother. And Abraham seen this on Isaac, and he thought, surely Isaac, he should be married. He should have a wife. He should have a home of his own. Abraham was thinking of what God had done for him and what he had promised him, that he would make of him a great nation. and that kings would come forth out of his loins, and that even the Messiah would proceed from him. And now Abraham started to meditate on how that this was going to take place. It would have to be through Isaac, his son. And I'm sure he was exercised at the throne of grace, beseeching God that God would give unto Isaac a good wife. For if we receive a wife or a husband from the Lord, we receive a good thing, the Bible says. And I and Abraham exercised in this way, commanded his servant to come to him. Now, the eldest servant that had rule over all his goods and over his house. And he said unto him, put thy hand on my thigh, and swear unto me that thou wilt not take unto my son a daughter of the Canaanites, but that thou wilt go unto my country, to my kindred, and there seek a wife for my son Isaac. We have here then Abraham concerned about what sort of a wife Isaac would have. He did not want him to have one of the Canaanites in the land in which he dwelt. Now, these Canaanites, they were degenerating into wickedness, and Abraham, having an insight in what was going to take place, knew that these Canaanites would sure come to ruin. And now he did not want his son to have a woman from them, but that he would have a wife from his own kindred, from his own relatives. Now, this teaches us a lesson that if we are parents and we have children, if we see our children going out and keeping company with persons that are worldly and ungodly, that care not about God or his word or his house, who live without God in this world, then as parents, we are duty bound to speak to our children and warn them in love that they should not go on with such fellows or girls that they are going with. This happens so often that children listen not to their parents. Some of them are stubborn. Some of them, they take off from their homes with the person that they're going, and they get married in another state, and they come home and tell their parents, well, they're married. Never even consulting their parents about this. Never consulting God. The first person that we should consult in this most important matter. How many of such marriages end in separations, in divorces? Many times these marriages end too in murders. They find one or the other unfaithful to their marriage vows, and we find sometimes they go out looking for them, and they shoot them, they murder them. And this is the result, many times, of not listening to the parents' good counsel and not getting on their knees and asking God to give them a wife or a husband. What a mercy if we acknowledge him in this way and seek his blessing upon our marriage. Oh, it's one of the most important things in life when we are to choose a partner to live with. Oh, that we seek God's face first in this matter. And now God was going to be so good to Isaac that he was going to give him a wife. Abraham, exercised at the throne of grace, was assured from God that God was going to give Isaac a wife of his own kindred. And therefore he called his servant to him and made him swear with his hand upon his thigh that he wouldn't take a wife from the Canaanites amongst whom he dwelled. but that he should go to his own country, to his own kindred, and there he should seek a wife for Isaac. Now this servant, we may believe, was Eliezer. We read of him in the 15th chapter of the book of Genesis, when Abraham was around 75 years of age. Then he appealed unto God and said that he only had this Eliezer, who was of Damascus, as his heir. He would leave everything he had to him. But God said no, he was going to give him a son out of his own loins, and he would be his heir. So this man then must have been of very great age likewise, this Eliezer. But he was a man of piety, a man that feared God, a man that had the grace of God in his soul. What a mercy to have such a servant working for us, a person that has the grace of God in them. We may trust them that they will not lie, they will not steal, they will be honest in all their dealings with us. We find very few such servants today. But this man was an exception. Abraham trusted him with everything that he had. And now he makes him swear before the Lord God of heaven and of earth that he wouldn't take a wife for him out of the daughters of the Canaanites. But now this servant, he put a good question to Abraham. He says, peradventure, he says, when I come into this country, the woman will not follow me. What shall I do then? Now this drew out of Abraham the exercises of faith that he had concerning this matter. It's most logical for somebody to say, like this man did, well, you can't just go to a country and take hold of a woman and say, come on, I want you to marry this man. And now Abraham said unto him, thou shalt not take a woman from the Canaanites, but thou shalt go to my own kindred. For the Lord God, who brought me out of my own country, and sware unto me that he would give unto this land, give this land unto my seed, he shall send his angel before thee, and he shall give unto thee a wife from among my kindred. And if this woman will not be willing to return with thee, then thou art clear of this thine oath. Seeing this, how positive Abraham was, how sure he was, no ifs, no buts, you go. And when you get to that country, the Lord God will send his angel before you, and there'll be a woman waiting there for my son Isaac. And now you might not think that you're going to bring her back, and if she doesn't want to come back, well then you're free of this oath. So this servant, he put his hand on Abraham's thigh, and he sweared unto him concerning this matter. And we find that he took 10 camels of his master, and all what he needed for the journey, and he took off for this country where Abraham had come from. As you know, Abraham came out of Ur of the Chaldees, but his relatives were not living any longer in Ur of the Chaldees. They were living in Haran. And therefore, this servant went to Mesopotamia, and there he came with his 10 camels and his servants that he had took with him. And he came at even to a well. And at this well, the daughters of the city, of the men of the city, came out to fetch water to drink and to water their cattle with. And this servant, Eliezer, he sat down at this well. And now this servant was a God-fearing man. The Bible teaches us to acknowledge him in all his ways, and he will direct our paths. And this is what this servant did. He sat down and he began to pray. And he prayed, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I am at this day sitting at this well, where the daughters of the city have come out to fetch water. And now he sets a sign before God and says that when one of these daughters come out, and I go to her and say unto her, give me a drink, and she lets down her pitcher of water and says to me, drink, and says, I will likewise give water to thy camels also, that they may drink. Let that be the woman whom thou hast chosen for Isaac, my master's son. He then prays in this way that he believed that God was the God of his master Abraham. And he believed that God knew why he was at this well, what his journey was for, what the purpose was. And he sets a sign before God whereby he could believe that God answered his prayer and that that woman would be the woman that God had chosen for Isaac. And he had no more than got done praying, then down came to the well Rebecca, the daughter of Bethuel, a brother of Abraham, and she came to fetch water out of the well. How wonderful. How quick he got an answer to his prayer. Before that they even stopped speaking, it says in the Bible, I will hear them and I will answer them. And this is what happened to this man. Here comes this fair young damsel down to the well to draw water. And she drew water out of the well, and she's coming up, and this servant, he sees her, and he runs to meet her. And he says unto her, I pray thee, give me a drink. And she took the pitcher and lets it down off her shoulder, and she says, drink, my lord. And after she had given him drink, she says, I will draw for all your camels. What a wonderful thing this must have been for this man. He had just presented that to God and just pleaded that God would give, that by this sign he would be assured that this woman would be the woman for Isaac. And he's watching her. He could have sent his own servants to water his camels. He had servants with him. But no, he let her draw water for all the camels that he had. He had 10 camels. And when she was done, then this man must have been amazed inside. I could almost picture the emotions that he was having inwardly. Oh, that this God had heard him, and that this God had proven to him that this was the maid that was to be the wife for Isaac. Oh, my hearers, when you read this, it struck me. Now, this man, he had placed signs before God. And by these signs, he received an answer to his prayer. God didn't speak to him. God didn't answer him verbally with his tongue or by his word, but he answered him with signs. Have you ever prayed to God? Have you ever set any signs before God that if he would do this or would do that, then you would be assured that it was his will and his way? And you probably had these signs fulfilled in your experience, but you never heard the voice of God. You might say, God never spoke to me, but he speaks many times by signs. And he spake this way to this servant. Has he ever spoken to you this way? Maybe you've been in trouble. Maybe you've had sickness. Maybe you've had providential troubles in life. Some that nobody else knew anything about. And you, in secret, brought them to God. and you begged of God that he would give you a sign, a token, to prove to you that this was the right way. And he gave it to you. You remember those things? We don't always need to hear the voice of God speaking to us in answer to prayer. No. God works in various ways. It's wonderful to watch the hand of God in providence over us. For in him we live, we move, we have our being. And now this man, after he had seen this girl do these things, oh, he was so deeply humbled inside. After he was so sure that this was the woman that God wanted Isaac to have, then we find he even inwardly acknowledges God already. And he went to her, and he spake to her, and asked her whose daughter she was. And she said that she was the daughter of Bethuel, born unto Nahor. She then was a relative to Abraham, a kindred to him. All this filled the man more and more with amazement, because this is what Abraham had directed him that he should do. He should get a wife of his own kindred. How wonderful to believe that this woman just came at this time, and that this was the very person. Oh, I am sure of this man. He humbled himself so greatly before God. And when she told who she was, and he said to her, "Have you room for us in your house?" "Yes," she says, "we have lodging," she says, "and we have straw and provender enough for the camels." And then she made known unto him who she was, and then we find this servant, he bowed his head in the front of this young woman, and he thanked the Lord God of Abraham that he had led him in the right way to his kindred and had given him an answer to what he had been praying for. And now this young girl, after she had given water to the camels and to himself, he took out of his treasures a great earring, and he gave her two bracelets of so many shekels of gold. This was in thankfulness to her for giving him to drink and giving also the camel's water. And now, after he had spoken to her, then he made known unto her who he was, that he was Abraham's servant, and that God had blessed him and given unto him to come to this well and meet with her, and that she then was to be the woman that God had made choice of. She ran back to her home. And when she got back to her home, she began to show the earring and the bracelets that she had, and spoke to him, to them in her household, of what this man had said, and that he was Abraham's servant, and that he had come, and he had come to this well seeking for a wife for Isaac. This she spake to her brothers. And when she had been through speaking, we find that Laban, one of her brothers, he ran down to the well to meet this man. And when he saw this man, he spake unto him and said unto him, that, "Come in, thou blessed of the Lord, wherefore standest thou without?" This, what this Laban said to this servant, meant that he believed that he was a rich man, this Eliezer, because he had given his sister this earring and these bracelets, and he thought, sure, he must be wealthy. Later on, we hear more about the character of Laban, but this is why he said unto him, Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. It could also be that in this family, they had the same religion that Abraham had. They were of his kindred. And when this Rebekah came back and spake to them concerning what this man had said to her, that likewise Laban was moved to go down to him, believing that he was a servant of the Lord, one that had been blessed by God with grace. And therefore he invited him in this way, Come in, thou blessed of the Lord, wherefore wilt thou stand without? For this man, he accepted this invitation, for it was a very kind invitation. But I would bring this, what Laban said to this man, to you who are, by the goodness of God, given likewise to come up sometimes to his house, and likewise to bow your knees in secret. And sometimes when we have the Lord's Supper, like we had this morning, if you need this precious Jesus, then you have come like Laban did to this Eliezer. Haven't you ever prayed like he did? Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? Have you any need for this Jesus? Isn't he the one that has been blessed by his Father? He is most blessed forever, the scripture says. And he is so rich. Not only are the cattle upon a thousand hills his, and the world and everything that dwells therein, but all, he's so rich, my hearers, in grace, in mercy, in love, in pity, in compassion, just what you and I need. Oh, wouldn't you want him to come into your heart? Have you ever prayed that? Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Oh, if he should stay out of your heart, my hearers, then you will perish forever. Or may you beseech him like Laban did Eliezer, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Oh, if he comes in and takes possession of your heart, what a blessing this will be. Haven't you ever said, come in, make my heart thy temple, thy dwelling place, thy abode? Oh, do dwell in me and conform me to thy holy and divine image. Oh, I hope that there are some of you exercising this way. Oh, we live in such a sad time in this respect that there are so few that feel their need of Jesus. This man then was invited to come to Laban's house. He was a brother to Rebekah. From this history, we understand that her father had passed away, and that just her mother still was living. And she had another brother by the name of Bethuel. Bethuel was her father's name, but he was not alive any longer. And now this man, he came up, and the house was open for him, and the stables was open for him. He came in, and when he was going to sit down, why, there was meat on the table for him to eat. They then treated this man very kindly. But before that he did eat, he said he would not eat until he had related unto them his message and his mission, the journey that he had undertaken. He began to speak unto them that he was Abraham's servant. And he relates unto them some of the history that Abraham had passed through, how that God had blessed his master, and how that he had given unto Sarah in her old age a son. And Isaac was his name. And that all what his master had would come down to Isaac. He would be heir to all what Abraham had. And now Abraham had sent him out to get a wife for Isaac. He relates just what you read in the first part of this chapter to these people in this house, proving unto them that this was of God, that he was sent by his master for this purpose. And when he came to this story, how he met Rebekah at the well, how he had prayed, and how he got an answer to his prayer, then they were convinced too that this matter was of God. And therefore, when he questioned them whether he could take this girl with him back to his master's house and to Isaac, they said, "We see the matter proceeds from God." They were convinced of it. It was so plain and so clear for them. And therefore, they said, "Ask Rebekah herself." And when she was brought out and it was explained unto her, then she was willing to go. God made this woman willing to leave her father's house, to leave everything, and to go to Isaac, who she never had seen and didn't know what he looked like. And when she consented to this, then we find that this Eliezer opened up his treasures, and he gave her so much gold and so much silver and so much jewels that everybody in the family was filled with wonder and amazement. And he likewise gave gifts unto Laban and unto Bethuel, and thereby proving that he was sent by Abraham to them for this purpose. And now Rebekah, she became willing to leave and to go with this man that she had never seen either. And he had servants with him, and then he said that he would leave the next day. They wanted him to stay for 10 days, but he says, "The Lord has made my way prosperous, and let me return immediately." So they sent Rebekah with this man Eliezer and two handmaids with Rebekah back to the land where Abraham did dwell. And now when they came near to the place where Isaac was, we find that Isaac, he had went out in the eventide in the field. Isaac, he was well aware of the mission of this servant. Isaac probably was out in the field praying that God would give success to the mission of this man, Eliezer, the servant. This man, Isaac, he was then a praying man, a God-fearing man. She was going to have a husband that feared the Lord. What a mercy by Hebrews if we have such a husband or we have such a wife. They are blessed of God abundantly. And now when they came near, then she put her veil over her face, and when they seen him in the distance, then the servant said, "This is the son of my master." And we find that he did not run to meet them and see what she looked like, but she got down off the camel and she went to him and she bowed before him. And he took her into his mother's tent and she became his wife. And Isaac was comforted after the death of his mother. I often think of what Dominie Van Reenen has in one of his sermons. He says, "Do you think," he says, "that God gave us this big long chapter in the Bible. He says, just to give us a history of how Isaac got a wife? No. There are many more important things in the Bible that we only have sometimes few sentences about. And here we have a chapter of 50-some verses about how that Isaac received a wife from the Lord. And there are some wonderful spiritual meanings in this chapter, my hearers. But when we would take Eliezer as the Spirit of God, being sent out by God the Father to seek a bride for Jesus Christ, taking Isaac then as Jesus, taking Eliezer as the Spirit, taking Abraham as the Father, and we have a wonderful picture here of how that a sinner is brought to meet Jesus. And this servant went out. He didn't know who he was going to meet when he came to the well. He prayed to God, and God answered his prayer. Although in this particular instance, the Spirit of God knows every elect vessel of mercy. And this Spirit of God comes in due time and inclines the heart of every person that's chosen by God and wrought upon by this Spirit. This Eliezer, he met this woman, he gave her an earring, and he gave her some jewels, which already began to inflame her heart towards the person from whom these treasures came. They weren't Eliezer's, but they were from his master. And now, when he was given to come into the house, then he was pleading with these people in this house to let this woman go. So the Spirit operates in the hearts of God's dear children and overpowers them, wins them over. They likewise receive, as she did, so many things from the Lord. She received gold and silver and treasures and jewels. And so the Spirit of God comes into the hearts of his elect and gives them likewise so many signs, so many tokens, so many jewels of grace and of mercy, that they are overwhelmed with what God gives them. Have you ever been so? Has the Lord ever come into your heart? Has he ever given unto you some of his sweet love tokens, some signs, some gracious visits that you cannot forget? And oh, have they been so sweet and so wonderful? But then think of the person from whom they came. Now they come from the Lord Jesus. And this person is the most hidden and concealed person for such a sinner. He may have enjoyed much of him. His heart has been inflamed after him. And he longs and desires, or she does, to know him, to be married to him, to be joined to him, to be one with him. And as this Eliezer brought out these treasures, and by this, this woman was ready to go, so have you ever been made willing to go? Have you ever been made willing to leave and to forsake everything for the sake of this precious Jesus, from whom these treasures have come into your heart? They have put a fire on inside by you that nobody can put out. No sin, no devil, no world can ever put that fire out. It may seem that way. And it may feel to you to be that way, but sometimes just one little word, one little thought, and there you are. You're immediately exercised again with what he has given you in the past and with what he is and what you need him for. And all this woman, she was willing to go. God makes his people willing in the day of his power. And then we find that she went, she left everything. So you have experienced this. You've left your wife, your children, your father, your mother. You've left everything. For who? For him. Oh, he means everything to you. He means more than all the world. If you only had him. And she went. And when she came near unto him, she did not know him. She had never seen him. So it is with you and I. And then when Eliezer made known unto her that this was to be her husband, oh, when the Spirit of God makes known unto a soul, this precious person, Jesus, reveals him and brings him near. Oh, who can describe what goes on in such a person's heart? Then they fall down. She fell down off the camel. She couldn't get low enough before him. And oh, he took her and embraced her, and she was given to be married to him. This likewise takes place spiritually, my hearers. Then a soul becomes married to the Lord Jesus Christ. They are one with him, and they receive him and rejoice in him and know him as their Savior, their Redeemer. The Lord bless this feeble instruction out of his word to your hearts, which is, to my estimation, so inadequate, but yet may God take of it and use it for his honor, for his glory. That's all for today.